are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're such a privileged people, Lord, to have this opportunity to come together, Lord, to just think about you and to pray to you, Lord, and to worship you in spirit and truth. So, Father, tonight as we progress in this study of the Christ as the mystery of God revealed, we just pray, Father, you'd help us, Lord, with our minds and our hearts, O God, that our hearts would be right before thee. We pray, Lord, that as we would speak your word, that you would watch over our tongue, O God, and let us not say anything you would not have us to say. And let us not hear anything, Father, you would not have us to hear. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to continue with Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And I'd like to entitle this simply, This is the Rest. And from paragraph 191, we're going to pick up where Brother Branham said, well, you say now, wait a minute, Brother Branham. You're talking about the Old Testament. Well, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And remember, the Old Testament says that I am God, I change not. It doesn't say anything different. The New Testament says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just you have to know that Jesus Christ is God, and which Jesus Christ he's talking about. Anyway, he says it's the full revelation of God. If God ever says anything, he can never change it. He always magnifies it, and he changes it not. The law was magnified, not changed. It was magnified. Whosoever committeth adultery shall be guilty of death. But whosoever now magnified looks upon a woman to lust after her, he never changed a commandment. He magnified it. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, one day in a week. Now he magnified it. The rest comes from keeping the Spirit of God. Precept upon precept and line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Hold fast to that which is good. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. And that is the rest. Notice he's saying here that the rest is the speaking. The rest is the precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Hold fast to that which is good. For with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people, and that is the rest. That's the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And yet they would not hear it. And they wagged their heads, they walked away to their denominations. This is the refreshing. See, magnifying the Sabbath day to you Sabbatarians and so forth. Oh my, he don't change, he magnifies it. Hell has spread her gates to receive them. Now, before we go any further, I'd just like to look at this scripture that Brother Branham is referring to. If you'd open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 28. And we're going to read from verse 9 to 13. Because Brother Branham is talking about with stammering lips and another tongue, precept upon precept, etc. We find that in this scripture. Verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? I think he's asking a question. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Now listen, these words are very applicable for this day. You know how difficult it has been to get people to understand the doctrine of Christ. And God says here, who can he get to understand it? So there's a question mark. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts? Now notice the question here. He says, who can he teach the doctrine to? And then he answers by saying, certainly not those who are still on milk. Well then, what does that tell us about the day that we're living in? He says they've got to be out from the milk. They've got to be mature. You see, this is the hour that the body changed. This is the hour of adoption. This is the hour of all these promises of God coming together in one place to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Now, he's not expecting you to be conformed to a baby in a manger. He's expecting you to be conformed to the one who went to the cross. Amen. You understand? Notice the question here. He says, who can he teach doctrine to? And then he answers by saying, certainly not those who are on milk. In fact, Paul tells us it was not for his age. Because in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, he says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the doctrine could only come into full use in the hour of maturity, which we spoke on that subject a few weeks ago, where the fivefold ministry was given to the church for the maturing of the saints. Now, in getting back to Isaiah 28, we pick up at verse 10, and he says, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Now, a precept is this. It's a command or a principle intended especially as a general rule of action. So we're talking about the principles of the doctrine of Christ, and notice that the sole purpose of these principles are for the general rule of action or conduct. But what if our doctrine brings forth no action? You understand? If the precept upon precept is the principle that leads to an action, and it conducts the action, it regulates the action, then the doctrine is for a specific purpose, and that is to regulate the action that will come from the doctrine. You understand? So in knowing Christ, in knowing the Son of God, you begin to know the action. You see His action, now you know your action. You understand? Okay, it's just as simple. Then if you have the doctrine and it brings forth no action, either one of two things exist. Number one, your doctrine has no life. In other words, it's wrong doctrine, has no life. Or two, you do not understand the doctrine. Because the precepts of the doctrine are the principles of the doctrine. They're supposed to produce an action, and that is their sole purpose. So if you have no action coming forth from the doctrine, you don't understand the doctrine. Then we're told in verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue. Now what's a tongue? Anybody tell me what that is?
Language.
A language, sure. So let's read it this way then. For with stammering lips and another language will I speak to this people. So we have a promise here that at the end time, or the time of adulthood, when the children of God are grown up and ready to receive the doctrine, there will come one speaking another language that the people of God will know at that time. But it'll be a language not common to man, but a language that will bring with it the rest that comes from the presence of the Lord. Now, Brother Branham's language was very precise. More precise than Brother Vail's. Now, Brother Vail used precise words that big. But Brother Branham used precise words that big. And he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. So he says here in verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest. Now he's talking about with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, and this is the rest. And remember, knocked seven times and said relaxation under the seventh seal. This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. And we know the refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. Yet, they would not hear. So even though this one who will come from the very presence of the Lord will come with words of, or basically with a message, and that is in another language, a language they are not used to, those words are supposed to bring rest because they are the rest, yet the people will not hear them. Well, if the people will not hear the words that bring rest, then they are not at rest, and they cannot be at rest, then they're in works. And that's exactly what this verse says. But the word of the Lord, verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them. See, first he says precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Precept must be upon precept. The principles must be upon the principles. It must be to bring forth the order or the conduct of an action. But then he says, but the word of the Lord was unto them. Precept upon precept upon precept, line upon line, here little and there little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. Now in your mind you say, well, wait a minute. He says precept must be upon precept. And it says, but the word of the Lord unto them will become precept upon precept, line upon line. And yet they fall backwards. They're snared and taken. Notice that they will fall backward, become broken, snared, and then taken because they have not entered into the rest that the message is supposed to bring them. And that is because they do not trust the purpose of those words or that message. And we know the very purpose is to bring rest. We just read that. Now let me read to you from the New International Version, because the words make it a little bit more clear what's happening here. The NIV, Isaiah 28:9. Who is he teaching? Who is he trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? Pretty good words, right? To children weaned from the milk, to those just taken from the breast. For it is to them, do and do, rule upon rule, rule upon rule. A little here, a little there. Very well then, With foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to this people to whom he said, this is the resting place, let their weary rest. And this is the place of repose. And we know that the place of repose, it means to lay down, the place where you're supposed to lay down, or to lay in the presence of the sun to ripen. Verse 11, but they would not listen. So then the word of the Lord to them will become do and do, do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here, a little there, so that they will go and fall backward, be injured, snared, and captured. Again, I'd like to read from the New American Standard. To whom would he teach knowledge, and to whom would he interpret the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just taken from the breast? I don't think so. For he says, order on order, order on order, line on line, a little here, a little there. Indeed, he speaks to this people through stammering lips and foreign tongue. He who said to them, here is the rest, give rest to the weary, and here is repose, but they would not listen. So the word of the Lord to them will become order on order, line on line, a little here, a little there, that they may go and stumble backwards, be broken, snared, and taken captive. In other words, God comes down with a shout, which we know to be the message. And the people will not stop to listen, and so the message to them becomes just a bunch of conduct, order, and doctrine. And the very purpose of the shout is to bring rest and relaxation under the seventh seal. And rest comes from total trust. And thus there is such a lack of trust in this vindicated word that comes from the presence of the Lord that the people will miss it altogether. And thus they go into captivity. And so we have camps that are doctrine only. We have camps that are conduct only. And we have camps that are church order. Everything just church order. And so we've got order upon order, doctrine upon doctrine. Conduct upon conduct. So the same word, the same message that was sent to free a people to bring them rest is the same message that ensnares them and makes them captive. That's what this scripture is telling us. And that's what we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to bring it home a little bit closer to you tonight. 1 Timothy 4, now the Spirit, not just a spirit, but the Spirit speaks expressly. Now what does the word expressly mean? I'll tell you. It means the Spirit speaks for the expressed purpose. So if the Spirit speaks expressly, in other words, it's for this expressed purpose he's going to speak. Okay, so what does the Spirit speak expressly or for this expressed purpose do? He says that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, not from faith in general, but from the faith, giving heed to seducing doctrines or seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Wow, that's pretty strong. That's the end time. Now, the other day we read to you where Brother Bram emphasized that this faith that he's talking about here is not just departing from faith in general, but from the faith. And he said there is only one faith, and that is the faith of one Lord. In other words, the revelation of Jesus Christ. From his sermon, earnestly contending for the faith, Brother Bram said the faith, not a faith, but the faith. Now, many people will say, well, I go down to that meeting, but it's against, I would go down to that meeting, but it's against my faith. There's only one faith, one hope, one Lord, one baptism. You believe it? One faith, and that is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are warned that at the end time, some shall depart from the faith, the only faith there is. Now, listen, they had to be in the faith to depart from the faith. They had to have the revelation of Jesus Christ in order to fall away from the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the question is, what will take them away from the faith of Christ? The revelation of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ. What will take them away from the doctrine? And we're told in the very next verse, open your Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, they will speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, what does it mean that they will speak lies in hypocrisy? It means that they know better, but they say it anyway. They will say it one way to you, but when they are pressured by whatever people they're with, usually, they will say it a different way than the way they said it in the first time. So they are liars, but they actually know better. And a hypocrite is a stage actor, one who plays with different masks on. In other words, if he's with this group over here, he's got one mask on. If he's with this group over here, he's got this mask on. That's a hypocrite. And the Bible says they will speak lies in hypocrisy. So when he talks to you, he's your friend. And when he talks to your enemy, he's your enemy's friend. And he's not your friend. And with these kind, you will never know where you stand. And the political world is full of them, but so are the churches. And so Paul now tells us what it will be that they will turn to when they turn away from the doctrine. He says, forbidding to marry. Splitting up people who are joined together by God, where the vow says, whatsoever God has put together, let no man put asunder. And they'll try to get in metal and split people up instead of trying to get them to reconcile and to grow up and to die to themselves so that they can live as one unit. Okay, that's one thing. But Paul isn't finished there. He goes on to say, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, I really don't wish to get into this tonight, so I'm going to keep it very, very short. Notice Paul says, this will take place at the end time. That they will fall away from the faith, the revelation, the doctrine of Christ, and they will do so because they turn to something else. And one of those things happens to be abstaining from meats. You see how that is something Paul says is going to take place 2,000 years ago. And well, now I know some teach that this doesn't apply to this age. They say it applies to the Catholic Church who don't eat meat on Friday. Good grief. It says at the end time, not centuries ago. That wasn't the end time centuries ago. That doctrine in the Catholic Church is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. It was somewhere around the 14th or 15th century when they tried to bring in the Scandinavians into Catholicism. And so they made a pact, we'll make people eat fish at least one day a week. If you'll come in. And you know, that's the way they always did it. Catholic Church uses money. They're the biggest business on earth. Well, that's not the end time, brother, sister. This is the end time. So Paul tells us what will take place. They will fall away from the faith, the revelation, the doctrine of Christ. Now, from the website Ask a Catholic, we read the following. The church did bind the Catholics not to eat meat on Friday under pain of serious sin. The church would never say someone would go to hell for eating meat on Friday. But what the church taught was that if the Catholic knowingly, purposely, and without a good reason broke a church law that he knew bound him under a pain of mortal sin, then that person would not be in God's grace. If the person did not turn to God's mercy before or at the moment of death, his salvation would be at risk. I tell you, this day the scripture is fulfilled. So what does that remind you of? Now the fact is, if we read all what Paul wrote here, we have to ask the question, in which age has there been a people who really know the truth? Or who have been given more knowledge of the truth than in any other age? Because his scripture says, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, do you see something special here? We're talking about the end time. So this is expressly or specifically given to us as a special command for this age, which God wants for us to sanctify our food through the Word of God in prayer. In this age, that command, sanctify the Word of God through the Word of God in prayer. Sanctify your food through the Word of God in prayer is for this age more than any other age. Because in what other age did the people have to sanctify their organic natural foods? Except with maybe washing it a little bit. But in this age of the hybrid food, this is the age where they spray the cattle with poisons to kill the bugs in their skin. This is the age where they feed cattle cow bones and cannibalize the food. This is the age where it's all about the money. It's not about the food anymore. So cleaning our food with water won't work in this hour. So we have a special dispensation of grace when we are to pray over our food. And we have a promise from God that he will sanctify the food of them who believe and know the truth. It's not for everybody else. You understand? That scripture, what I'm reading right now, brother, sister, that scripture is specifically for you and I in this hour who are believers and who know the truth. And it's not for the rest of the world. So this expressly or specifically given to us as a special command for this age, which God wants us to sanctify our food through the Word of God and prayer, because in what other age should the people have to sanctify their food? So cleaning our food with water won't work. And that promise is not for unbelievers. That promise is only for those right in this message who are believers and know the truth. Then he says, verse 4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. Nothing. If it be received with thanksgiving, there is the key. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer, and if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now, don't get upset, brother, sister, that I brought this up, because I saw something here today that I never saw before. You know, I knew the argument going back and forth. They say, well, that's not for this age and blah, blah, blah. We know that God put it in there. When did he ever take it out? But more specifically, God showed me something today. He said to pray over your food for this hour. Specifically, the Spirit speaks expressly or specifically that in the latter times, people are going to depart from the faith, taking heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines that say don't, you know, get involved with people married. And doctrines that say don't eat meat. He said that's what's going to pull them away from the doctrine. And isn't it interesting that certain people that used to be known for the doctrine are no longer known for the doctrine, but are known because of a meat issue. You understand this scripture is being fulfilled. I would flee from that. I would really flee from that with all my heart. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Notice 1 Timothy 4, he tells us that they will preach this false doctrines because they will depart from the faith. So they have to be in the faith to depart from it. This is not talking about Catholics. They have never been in the faith. It's talking about right in this message, brother, sister. Look, we are going to have separation upon separation right until the very end, and until the final separation is a rapture. You've got to stay current with God. Not depend on something that was 20, 40, 60, 100 years old. He said they will depart from the faith, and Brother Brown taught us that the faith is not just a faith in general, but from the faith, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what do they depart to? Well, he said they give heed to seducing spirits and false doctrines, like forbidding to marry and abstaining from meats. So it is these false doctrines that will take the people away from focusing on the faith, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and they will begin to focus themselves on other natural things like diet. Now notice Paul assures us to go ahead and eat meat because it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. But they said, and I know it because I've got the tapes, God's prophet warned us about what they are putting in the meat, and if you eat it knowingly, you are not taking the warning of a vindicated prophet of God, and God will not hear your prayer if you pray over it. But Paul warned us that they would do this. And he said, we have a word from the Holy Spirit specifically for this hour. Sanctify it with the word of God in prayer and then eat it with thanksgiving. And that's exactly what Brother Branham said. He said, now you say, well, what do I do then, Brother Branham? Because Brother Branham had just gone down a whole grocery list. He said, the eggs are bad. He said, the meat, they're injecting stuff into it. It's bad. He said, hybrid foods is killing the people. It's destroying the flesh. He said, the water is bad. He said, the air we breathe is bad. He went through a whole grocery list of things that are bad. And he said, so you say, well, what do I do, Brother Brown? He said, pray over it, because the Bible said it'll be sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, either God put it in there or he didn't. And Paul says, it's specifically for this hour. Hallelujah for the grace of God to give us a word for this hour to pray over whatever you do eat. And he'll sanctify. He promised to sanctify it with the word of God in prayer. All right, now, Isaiah 29, verse 7 to 14, we read, and the multitude that distress her shall be as a dream of the night vision, and that shall be even as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he eats in his dream. But when he awakens, his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and in his dream he drinks. But when he awakens, behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. And Brother Branham taught us that whenever the Scripture speaks of Mount Zion, it speaks of the bride. From the future home, Brother Branham said, wherein the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughter of Zion, and remember, that's always the bride. Now that's his quote. Now let's continue on, verse 9. Stay yourselves, wonder and cry, cry out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets, and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart from me, and their fear toward me is taught only by the precepts of men. The NIV puts it this way, verse 13, their worship of me is made up only of the rules taught by men. The New Standard, American Standard says, their reverence of me consists of traditions learned by rote. The Amplified says, their fear and reverence of me, or for me, are a commandment of men that is learned by repetition without any thought of the meaning. In other words, they got it, but they don't got it. And so no matter how well they are taught, it will all become as though they had never been instructed in the first place. That's what the Scripture tells us. Beware. You might have sat under one of the greatest teachers since the Apostle Paul and not make it. Because what you've got becomes nothing. Unless you're walking with the pillar of fire every day, unless you are dying to yourself every day, and he's refilling you. You might say, well, I had a time, I remember, way back when. And we read this quote a couple weeks ago where Brother Brown said, it's got to be daily. You can't go back. I mean, it's good to know that you had a time when you had a birth, brother, sister. That's important to know. But it's more important to know that God has not forsaken you. That birth was more than just a baptism in the flesh. That actually you had a soul that was germinated and quickened, and your life has been changed and made anew. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among these people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing formed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the parousia of Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. So Paul is speaking of the time of the parousia, and the great gathering together that is brought about by the shout. From the message, the rapture, Brother Branham said, a shout, a voice, a trump. Now the third thing is a trump, which always is always at the Feast of Trumpets is calling the people to the feast, and that'll be the bride's supper, the Lamb's supper with the bride in the sky. See, the first thing comes forth is the message calling the bride together. So when does the gathering begin? When the message calls the bride together. The next thing is a resurrection of the sleeping bride, the one that's died back in other ages. They caught together, and the trumpet, the feast in the heavens, in the sky. Why? That's the thing that takes place, friends. We're right there ready now. The only thing the church coming out has got to do is to lay in the presence of the sun to ripen. The great combine will come by after a while. The wheat will be burned, the stalks, but the grain will be gathered into the garner. So he says the shout is to gather the elect from the four corners of the earth, and no other messenger's message has done it like this age. Remember in the parable, he says the kingdom of heaven will be like a man that'll take a net and cast it into the sea. Remember that? Well, where has there been a net in all the ages? If sea means peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues, where has there been a net in all the ages that could be cast into all the nations, all the tongues, all the peoples, etc.? Until this age, when we have the internet. And the internet has brought people together like you wouldn't believe. The mission work has been made much easier than going out and going blindly, so to speak, like they did years ago. They go to a country and they bring a tape or two or a book or two and they talk to one person and then maybe to another person, and now it's all out there. It's on the net. And the people come to the net. And when they come to the net and they find it, they see it, it's all there for them. And they're gathered together to one place, and that is Christ Jesus. So it says, the shout is to gather the elect from the four corners of the earth, and no other messenger has done it like it's been done in this age. Even in Brother Branham's age, he talked about, he said, you know, this message is going out into all the world. people were taking tapes, and they knew somebody would know somebody would know somebody, and they would take a tape. Brother Branham went to Africa. There was a few brothers there. Then they took it into the other African countries, and just little by little. But in this hour, it's just like quick. So Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3, he said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the prudency of the Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him, that you soon not be shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, or by word, or by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And if we haven't seen the falling away starting, it's horrendous how much is happening. And even in the Baptists are saying there's a falling away from their faith. But in this message, we have seen in the last couple of years more falling away than at any other time in the history of this message. Well, men are even now saying Brother Branham wasn't the prophet of Malachi 4. And they're actually disclaiming. And he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So I see this is also the day for the great apostasia, which is the great divorcement, the great forsaking. Now I know these aren't pleasant words to speak, but they're God's words, and we must reverence them. And I say them not to lift up any, but to warn all of us. And when the finger goes out, there's three pointing back. That no matter how far down the line we think that we've come, until you get your body changed, brother, sister, you had better die daily, and you had better humble yourself in the presence of the judge, because he is here. And in the book of James 1:14, we read, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So don't add to or take away from what the prophet taught us, brother, sister, because the minute you do that is the very minute you're going to die. And the word that James used here for being drawn away is the Greek word exelko, which means to be lured out from. In other words, something's got to take you out of here, as Brother Vail used to always say. In Acts 20, verse 26 to 28, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made me your overseer to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So being, as Brother Branham said, Paul is he's a pattern for every minister. And Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you everything. It might not be pleasant. Some of these words might be very pungent, very hard to swallow. But they're the truth. God is not coming for a bickering people. He's not coming for people that are stewing and fussing. He's coming for an elect seed that have a lamb nature. In Galatians 1:6-9, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not really another, but there be some of you that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So it's not a different one altogether, it's just a perverted one. It's one with a little twist, a little curveball at the end. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And then chapter 2, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew himself, and he separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled themselves likewise, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Remember, God showed by vision to Peter all these things that he called unclean, and he said, don't call unclean what I call clean. You don't think the thing's repeated in this hour? And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas... let's just say that Paul and the whole gang were at Ryan's Steakhouse. And then some of the other guys showed up. And you all had steak on your plate. What are you going to do? Are you going to do like Peter? Get up, pretend like you weren't there, like you just got there, haven't ordered yet? It's exactly what Peter did. Don't you see the same setting today? And the other Jews dissembled themselves with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried about with their dissimulation. You see how a little leaven leavens a whole lump? But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and do also as the Jews, why would you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we also are found sinners, is there therefore Christ the minister of sin? Well, God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am therefore crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I'm living, yet it's not I that's living, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, his faith, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And in closing, Hebrews 10, 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then I'd like to finish with paragraph 192 and 93 of Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Brother Branson, now you can see the end time message, why it's rejected. Can you? Now, no denomination, but the revelation of his mystery. See? No denomination. It's the revelation. God's not known by denomination. He's known by revelation. Look, God in his body, Christ. And Christ in his body, the bride. Oh my. God made manifest in Christ. Christ made manifest in the bride. And as God took from the body of Adam, the woman, and she fell, then God has took from the body of Christ, his flesh, his body, which is his word, and is bringing a bride out that won't fall by denomination or creed. And remember, creed is your doctrine. It's your belief. No, sir, but she's coming back to the pure, unadulterated word of God being manifested. I hope every man that hears this tape and every woman will understand that. See? She's the second Eve, but she's not breaking and spoiling her skirts of purity and holiness to her husband. She'll stay with this word regardless of what anybody else says. You can have all the ecumenical moves you want to all the affiliations, and they're going to bring a persecution on pretty soon and shut up the churches. You see that? And the churches like this, who's not in denominations, they'll use them for storehouses then. And if any man goes and offers a prayer for anybody else that don't belong to the ecumenical movement, will be shot on the spot. It's already. That Luther minister, the head of it, said so. It's right here. You can read it right in your magazines. It's right. And don't make any difference what they say. that church will stand true in this light. She's already proved it back yonder and shall do it again in the face of everything. It's the word of God. And let all ecumenical movements and everything else will be gone, but she's going to be there without spot or wrinkle, right? And that's where she'll stand. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, because we have a promise that there will be a church, there will be a group of people who will stand regardless of what's thrown her away. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves to dying daily. We commit ourselves to your character being built up in us. We pray, Father, that the maturity that is ordained to happen will take place in our beings. We pray that we will be conformed to the image of your firstborn Son. We pray that we will be manifested sons, manifesting the Son of God in our flesh, that we will manifest his character, his nature, his very obedience to you. We have all these promises, Father, and these are as certain as we are standing here tonight. And so, Lord, I just commit myself, I commit this little flock which you've given me and those overseas that you've given to us, O God. I commit your children everywhere, Father, whether we know them or not. I commit them unto thee, and I pray, Father, that you would take us and lead us, because sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give